You're listening to the home of irreverent and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. Each Monday at 11 a.m., this show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Today, I have a very special guest. He will be calling in from Germany, and his name is Florian Schlosser. At a very early age, Florian began exploring into human behavior, theology, anthropology, psychology, and quantum physics, as well as human consciousness, and especially into the underlying truth inherent to all existence. This is going to be a very unique situation for all of us here at Answers for the Family, and I wish all of you to stay on to just understand what it is that Florian is bringing us. I met him in Denver, and he did a phenomenal presentation for all of us. And whatever the problems may be in the the problems such as widespread drug addiction or child abuse, all of these issues that government and law enforcement find difficult to address through traditional methods, Florian's methodology enables resources to be targeted most effectively. And let me tell you, Florian has been instrumental in facilitating understanding and evoking dialogue between hostile factions around the world. And if he can do that, he ought to be able to help facilitate those of us communicating with our family members and our teenagers. And with that introduction, I am going to bring up Florian Schlosser. Florian, are you with us?
I'm with you. I'm with all of you, yes.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. And I know that, I'm trying to think, I think you're about, what, nine hours ahead of us. So, although it's morning.
Exactly.
Okay.
8 o'clock p.m.
8 p.m. All right.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that I would like you to do, first of all, I would like you to tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. But also, I want to let you know that I've personally had a very stressful week. My computer crashed. I was fighting traffic for 2 hours just to get here to the studio. So I kept looking forward to the fact, and I said, you know, this may have been a stressful week, but I'm going to be talking to Florian a little later, and I know that I'm going to feel better just knowing I'm doing that. So I'm really glad to have you at this time.
So first of all, I'm very happy to be on your show, and it's pretty exciting because it's the first time that I'm doing a conference call from San Diego to Europe, and it's quite exciting, and I'm actually looking forward to speak with you this hour too. And just to briefly introduce what I'm doing is actually very simple. After many years in the spiritual and psychological search, I could sense in myself that there's a quality of attention in our life that basically determines the quality of my life. I always thought it's my psychological state, or it's my spiritual state, or it has to do with my parents, or it has to do with what I went through, that why I'm functioning like this. And in the research of the last 25 years, I could see that I'm not the product of my past, like many people say, but I'm much more the product of my attention and the quality of how I am including the experience of now in the focus of my consciousness. And the quality of attention has a very deep impact on how our body actually experiences itself. Because most of us, we're very tight. As you just beautifully described, we're in the car, the whole system tightens up, we try to make it, and our whole system runs on automatic. It moves from an ease mode to a stress mode. And with that, our focus of attention mostly gets pretty narrow, and we're, in a way, the system runs on survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And this automatic response is not so much a psychological thing, and it's not a spiritual thing or a new-ageical thing or a something that we are doing on purpose, but it is an habitual functioning of how our focus of attention moves. And this is mostly unconscious. It is so quick and so habitual that we only harvesting the bitter fruits of this narrow focus and the tightening up in the body that move our system from an ease mode, from an enjoying mode, into a kind of stress mode. Mm-hmm. And it's not so easy for us to detect it as long as the system is speed up and under tension. And so throughout the years, I've developed my own work, which I'm sharing now around the world. I wrote 3 books about it, and they are in public meetings and in retreats that we offer in Europe, in Asia, and next year also in the United States. People can just recognize basically that there's no need to run on a narrow focus, on a narrow focus of attention, which is just a habit and something we are trained to. And I trained also people professionally, specifically in the psychological field and in the therapeutical field. And so in the hour today, we can maybe together explore a little bit on a very practical level, explore how we can work with this, how we can shift our focus of attention in the moment when we're meeting someone. I think that was something that you already asked me in an email prior to this show.
Right.
And so I prepared a little bit to make it as practical as possible and to literally explore together with you and maybe also together with people who are calling in to see how this affects our capacity to be present, to be calm when things starting to pick up in our system, and how we can also be able to meet other people even when they are agitated, to stay calm in meeting them, in exploring together with them, and also in assisting their own process. So this is basically what I can offer, at least in this hour.
Well, and I got to tell everybody, I mean, I'm looking forward to this. And when Florian and I met in person for the first time, we were in Denver. And I was, at that time, I was president of the World Association of Detectives. And so I was running around trying to help coordinate a whole bunch of things. And I was at a pretty high, I was at a pretty high stress level at that point.
Yes, and, I remember.
And I went into his presentation and I sat in the front. And it was such a calming effect as I got more involved in it, and I ended up volunteering to be the person that he focused more on, and it was just such an incredible calming effect, and it helped me to recognize how the people around me were helping to either take me closer to that calming effect, or in the same sense how some earlier had gotten me to that stressful point.
So,
that's one of the reasons why I really am so thankful to have you on here. And one of the questions that I think that some of our people may have, we have a lot of professionals that listen, psychiatrists, psychologists, and so I know they're familiar with NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. How would you compare your techniques or methodology to NLP?
So I do not know much about NLP. I was a little bit interested a few years ago, and so if I see it from the perspective of my own experience, what I sense is that the approach that I'm offering is not an approach that needs willpower.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to include mental activity or reframing my thinking process or trying to change my belief systems. It is more bringing my attention into the body as we're speaking, Alan. We can just simultaneously just explore a little bit and to see what this effect is. So as we're speaking here, we can just very gently and forcelessly just becoming aware of what's happening in our physical system. So I'm very much working with the sensations that the body generates,
mm-hmm.
and which is not a mental activity, and it's also not so emotional. It has an effect on the mental and emotional realm, but it is actually one step deeper. So what I'm noticing as we are speaking now, we can bring our attention into the body and tracking internally how the body responds to the quality of the energy that flows, for example, through us. So if there's a little force in us, like pushing our voices, or if we can just getting a little more into a light, kind of laid-back state and receiving the response of our body, including the nervous system. So my body is very much into receiving and tracking the immediate responses of the entire physical structure, including the nervous system, because there stress begins, there most of the stress layers originate, and there also most of stress and shock energy is still in a way captured. It is frozen in the nervous system. And what we're experiencing as stress, as discomfort, as a way of backing off or trying to solve something is merely a residue of stress energy that is frozen in the nervous system and just becomes reactivated in the moment of contact or in a moment of meeting.
Right.
So, let me that's for me the main difference between NLP and this kind of approach.
Okay, and let me share something for the listeners. Those of you that are driving, and as we start going into this and you start to feel sort of a calm, pull over, okay? You're going to feel calm. I don't want somebody closing their eyes and going, wow, I was so calm, I closed my eyes and forgot that I was driving. So pull over to the side.
I would even recommend, because as we're calming down and exploring, it can cause a kind of very relaxing trance in consciousness. And that can, of course, widen the focus. And while driving, it's always good to have a pretty focused mind.
Sure.
So if you feel like that, everyone who's listening on the car, I would even recommend go on the side, turn off the engine if you can for 10 minutes and join the exploration, but maybe not on the highway.
Exactly.
Yeah, good. Thank you for reminding this, Alan. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, I mean, you want to go ahead and walk us through? I mean, I know
yes.
that, you know, because I've gone through it. I'm sort of prepared. I'm already just kind of, you know, just starting to relax a little bit just as we start thinking about it. So,
if we are going to explore together, and I love this opportunity. So, as we're exploring now, where exactly? Or what do you notice in your system as we're bringing our attention more into the physical body, which is not so common for most people, because most people are basically watching their thinking or are more or less aware of the emotional response, but we are not really embodied. We are not really fully in our bodies. So as we are doing this, and we can speak, we can even continue speaking. I know you're very sensitive, Ellen. What do you notice? How would you describe this inner shifting?
Well, I think the first thing has been is that my breathing rate has slowed down a little bit. My shoulders that were very tight when I first sat down here after I got out of the car, my shoulders have relaxed back a little bit. They're a little bit freer now as they relax back.
Absolutely. I feel that. I can feel you in me. Mm-hmm. And just noticing if you can sense that there's more energy literally in the lower part of your body. So the part which is below the belly button down to the feet. Can you notice this, that you're getting more energy down in your feet?
Yes, yes. In fact, I can feel my circulation a little bit better now. I can feel it. There's sort of a tingly type of feeling.
So it's funny enough, as we're speaking, I can feel you as you would sit opposite of me. So my body, in a way, tracks your system. So if we would, for example, sit together or we would sit opposite of someone, that person would suddenly join into that, we could call it an exploration of our nervous systems. It's not actually something we're doing now. It's more a quality of bringing the attention into the body and including more of the actual sensations that are already happening anyway. We are just not usually paying attention to them, and that's why they play out so quickly and turn our system into a mess of stress, basically.
I agree, and it's as if it's working both ways. I mean, if I remain sort of hyperactive, or I was very very still excitable, or something like that. You know, I agree, you would be feeling that, but I think now the calm that you bring in your voice, I mean, has kind of helped me get to that point better, and then I think we sort of feed off each other after that.
Exactly. So our systems get into a kind of exchange. We are exchanging information, and it's another loop. It's not a I'm stressing you and you're stressing me loop. It's a kind of relaxing loop. And it's funny enough, it's happening even while we're speaking. It's quite interesting as we're becoming aware of what's happening in us. Very gently, there's a lot of energy starts to move in our bodies, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a very good beginning, because as long as we are highly agitated, as long as stress has picked up, our capacity, literally our capacity to track what's going on in us is rather limited.
Mm-hmm.
Our system runs on a very narrow focus and tries just to keep and catch up with what we think we need to do. So the first step in bringing our attention to this moment is just noticing what's happening in the body and just gently letting the focus of attention getting a little wider. Mm-hmm. As we could start to include the room we're sitting in, exactly, just noticing what's happening also around us, so we don't need to internalize too much. It's more like we're becoming aware of the inside and the outside simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Very. And there's no force needed. There's no willpower needed. That's the secret that I found out throughout the years. It's not a question of willpower.
Well,
we don't need to want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very gentle, actually, isn't it? Can you notice this?
Well, yeah, and I think to sort of share with everybody, I think it's almost the opposite. It's like the opposite of willpower. It's just a release. You know, I'm releasing that control, so to speak.
Yes.
And that's the feeling that I have. And I think those of you that if you're listening in, you know, just let yourself release. Let yourself just relax and
drop into the body. Dropping into the body.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, that's what most people are. Just some people are afraid of, and others are just not used to this. To be gently embodied.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us think when we're falling into the body, when attention drops in the body, we're going to experience a nightmare. Because many people went through so many nightmares in their life, traumas and pain and difficult circumstances, that which the body still remembers. So the idea that we have is that when we are going to drop back into our bodies, we're going to re-experiencing all that again. But funny enough, this is a belief. Once we're dropping, we don't experiencing that. It actually has the opposite effect. It releases that cellular memory from the system instead of reinforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting that it works actually backwards.
Right. Right. And I'm also, you know, I wouldn't say amazed, but I'm very, I guess, thankful that, I mean, it's the same feelings over the phone. I mean, when we did it before and we were in a room and we were seated fairly close together, you know, and I felt it. But the nice part is that, I mean, we're thousands of miles away and we're doing this over the airwaves, and I'm still getting this nice feeling, a nice, you know, interaction, a tingly feeling. It's very nice.
So you see that when we're exploring as consciousness, when consciousness is doing the job for us and we including the body, this is not limited down to the physical presence. I just had a conversation with a lady from Boston about 1.5 hours ago, and it was like it's the same. We're sitting as I would feel her right sitting in front of me. I mean, she is in me. Mm-hmm. And as we are from interest and from a common sense, we are exploring together, we become each other. In a way, our system have the capacity to literally joining each other and sharing experience and sharing information on a cellular level that is not bound to physical presence. And it's quite amazing for me too. And again and again, and I have done it often around the world with people, but it's quite interesting to start to feel you now. It's like, as you become closer, as I would feel you closer inside of me, and maybe the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it certainly is. One of my thoughts is now with many of our people being professionals that are listening, that work with people that are dealing with a variety of different issues, what would be some of the things that we can tell them as to how they can effectively learn this or effectively use this to help them work with their patients or with their clients? or even from the standpoint of parents and working with their children. I mean, with their
absolutely,
they've got a child that's out of control.
It's absolutely the same. So it doesn't matter. You can be a professional helper or a professional therapist, psychologist, advisor, or you are just a parent, a father and a mother. The mechanisms are the same. And let's start from scratch, and it's actually very easy, okay. But we usually do not look at it like this. So normally when we meet someone, and it can be in a professional environment, it can be in a very intimate child, parents environment, mm-hmm. That doesn't matter. The mechanisms, as I said, is the same. What we're usually doing is we're experiencing the person that we're meeting outside of us. Because our attention is habitually turned outside. So if our attention is turned outside, how the person appears to us is separate from us. We think the client or the patient, mm-hmm. or my child or my parents, they're outside of me. That's the habitual unquestioned habit that we all have.
Well,
can we agree on this?
Well, yeah, and especially if they're out of control. I mean,
when they're out of control, exactly.
Yeah, if they're out of control, they're yelling, they're upset.
Exactly.
You know, that's not someone we want to let in.
Exactly. So automatically, our senses perceive someone getting upset or freaking out in front of us, and there's an immediate response of our system to tighten up and to, in a way, shut down and separate ourselves from what we're actually perceiving. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the automatic... Mm-hmm. habitual reaction that we all know. We don't want to have anything to do. Please get off my screen, and if you're well again, you come back again. That's a normal functioning,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
No, absolutely.
Okay, so this automatic response of our whole system, where can we usually track it? What is the actual experience? When this is happening, what is the actual experience? I mean, it feels like we want to push someone away or trying to get out of their way, but what is the actual experience when our central apparatus perceives an experience like this? What is actually happening in us? What is happening in you when your wife is angry and maybe is upset with you and yells at you, or you meet someone where you track like aggression, for example. You go on the street and you feel someone, there's like a kind of aggressive energy approaching mm-hmm. me. Where do you track, or what's the means with which we usually track this? What is it in you?
Well, I mean,
the automatic.
I think it's automatic for people to hold it away from them. You know, to hold it at
okay,
arm's length.
Okay, but yes. But that's already
right.
the surface.
Right.
But what's the initial response of the entire system that makes us feel like, let me get out of here?
Right.
What's the first impulse that we become aware of usually, even if we're not paying much attention to it?
Well, yeah, I think what you're saying is, I mean, we're feeling them. We're feeling whatever that negativity or aggression is. We're feeling that
fantastic.
Inside. Yeah.
Where do we feel it? Fantastic. So first of all, our system picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
It feels it. But where do we feel it? Do we feel the person outside of us, or is that feeling of the other person inside of us?
Absolutely. It's inside.
It's inside already.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I cannot feel you outside of me. Whatever you feel, whatever you are, whatever you're going through, may it be anger,
mm-hmm.
may it be stress, may it be upset, may it be love and gentleness. Whatever I feel of you, I feel inside of me already, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Let's get that clear now.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people think it's happening outside of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. The experience of everything, of the person, of your child, or if you're a child yourself and you experience your parents, or if you're a therapist and you meet your client, what's actually happening, yet you feel the other person already inside of you.
Right.
And this is, I mean, when I noticed this in my life, it was a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't need to look outside anymore. When I wanted to meet someone, if I wanted to know something about another person, I could just feel the other person inside of me, which I already have done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that meeting the person internally as, and we can play again together
right.
just now, as we're speaking.
Right. But what I'm saying
let's
what I'm saying, then how do we then take that and use our positive energy to de-escalate them, you know, to
Fantastic.
Help them.
Very good. Okay, so first of all, I mean, if this is clear that mm-hmm. we never dealing with anything in the outside, mm-hmm. we're only dealing with an experience in the inside. So all you are to me now and all I am to you now is an experience in my body. I feel you in my whole body now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel your energy. I feel the tightness a little bit in the belly. I feel a little excitement, but I also feel the calming and the dropping. So I feel, in a way, I become you and vice versa. So, mm-hmm. so all we are to each other, and it is completely independent of any environment, is an experience internally. Everyone is only an experience to us now.
Right.
So, I mean, that's already is a huge de-escalation, if you like, because we don't have to defend anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as we're perceiving, as long as we believe that what we're perceiving is actually happening in outside of us, our whole system moves into basically three automatic responses, which is fight, means defense, flight, which is backing off, let me get out of here,
mm-hmm.
or we're going into a kind of frozen state. We freeze in, and the feeling is like a shock-like state.
Right, yeah.
And that comes only because we're experiencing the world outside of us. You know what I'm...
Yeah, absolutely.
Those three automatic responses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, good. We know, yeah. Yeah, fight, flight, or stage fright.
Freeze.
Yeah.
Fight, flight, or freeze, which are the typical shock reactions when the nervous system feels overwhelmed by too much of information.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes only by the idea of that we're experiencing something outside of us which is a threat for us.
Yep.
Because we don't see that we're already feeling the other person, much more precise actually, internally. So as we're here now together, mm-hmm. and we are going now into how can we transform, how can this energy that we're feeling inside of us be transformed without trying to manipulate the outside?
Right.
Okay, that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play. Let's make it practical, okay?
Okay.
So if you want, and let's make it very basic. If you can, willingly now, tighten up a little bit. Okay? It's funny to say, maybe not so easy for you. So tighten up.
Yeah, I mean,
and I will tell you if I can feel it. Okay.
Okay. As I tighten up, I'll talk about it because of the fact that this is radio, they can't see it. So I'm going to talk about it.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to bring up my computer crash. Okay, that's one of the things that tightened me up. Okay, bad enough that the computer crashed, but then I get mad at myself because I realized that I had tried to back it up and I failed to back it up.
Okay, that's already enough.
Angry
just
with myself. Yeah.
Just noticing the anger, noticing a little stress in your head,
mm-hmm.
just noticing that the whole experience that you were describing already started to manifest in your system. Can you notice?
I can feel it.
Less than
I can feel it from my head to my toes.
Yes. 10 seconds was enough. In speaking about it, the whole experience became actual in you.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel it, okay? Now I feel it. Keep going. And I feel it. I can feel a little pressure in my head. I can feel like a little agitation in the nervous system. So as my whole system starts to also experience the same experience that you had, maybe today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough.
Right.
So just keep going. And I'm just receiving that energy now. I'm receiving you in me. I'm mm-hmm. receiving the whole story. I'm receiving it with my whole body now, not with my mind, because I haven't been with you. I don't know much of what has happened, but I feel it with my entire body now. I can feel the shivering. I can feel the anger. I can feel the desperation, the whole story. Okay.
Right. Now I have this, now I have guilt added to that because I feel like I need to apologize because I'm making everybody feel this way.
No.
Funny enough, now
the psychology comes up, the feeling mm-hmm. of guilt and apologizing.
Right.
You see, the whole psychology now shows up.
Mm-hmm.
You're just noticing it. So now, as we're here now, okay, welcoming it. Let's honor this, okay? That was the story of this afternoon. And let's honor it. Nothing to change now. Ah, exactly. Just letting it be, letting it move freely through the system now, feeling it with the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing great. and just noticing if this quality of not changing now, not trying to fix or manipulate or analyze or psychologize, just fantastic. Just noticing, here we go. Doesn't mean anything. It was just energy moving through the system. And as it can be free now in the body, what do you notice now? As we're playing with a gentle quality of attention, we're just noticing it. We're not doing anything with it. What do you notice now?
Well, again,
how does this
less, and I have less of the tightness in my chest. And interestingly, when you mentioned the word playing, you know, one of the visualizations that popped up was, you know, me last night wrestling with my kids and tickling them.
And
as I got that visualization, you know, then I felt even less tightness in my shoulders and less tightness in my chest.
Funny enough, even in that widening of the focus, you could suddenly remember other things that have been pleasant. I call them resources that have been nice. Suddenly you remembered your child. Maybe what was helpful can be that you have maybe a flower on your desk and you look at the flower, but as we are becoming a little wider and starting to just track the entire feeling of the body, we can start to, we have access to resources, you know, like your child or the memory of yesterday or something that you really like in your life. We have access again, which again is another information for the system to calm down without analyzing, without looking for a reason or for something in the past that maybe has been or that we thought is the reason for our agitation. But as we're here now and just playing with this, just noticing that everything gets again softer, that there's more energy flowing down to your feet. It's a bit like electricity in the body, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I've gotten much.
I feel it like it, yes.
Yeah, I've gotten much closer to the calming state, you know. So
yes,
it's nice. And I'm glancing out the window now rather than kind of looking at the microphone, you know. So.
Exactly. And funny, what's actually happening that this agitation energy, that stress energy, the computer and it's not working and all the rest of it, is discharging from our nervous system.
Yep.
And this is what people are not used to. They think they need to have holidays for 2 weeks, but we don't know much about how quickly our system can discharge stress agitation energy from itself by just the quality of including the body and specifically not wanting to change anything. That's the clue, because we are so keen on trying to change our experience, and that, funny enough, has the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. It reinforces the stress.
Well, let's try with a role play, because I think now what everybody's hearing now is that I'm a very willing participant.
Yes.
If we can role play this, let me take the role of about a 14, 15-year-old teenager.
Please.
That isn't a willing participant, that's starting out from a more or less an irrational position. And
yes.
How can we, I mean, I'll be able to build up that energy. Let's see how we can de-escalate that as well, okay?
Okay, let us make one step. Okay. I love the idea of a role play. Let's clarify one thing prior to this. So, again, we're having the same situation, and let's clarify it again. The senses perceive a 14-year-old boy being completely out of control, okay?
Right.
That's what we perceive, and it feels like that 14-year-old boy is outside of us.
Right.
And we just have to manage it. We don't have to, we're going into the whole idea of boundaries, and I'm not neglecting this at all, but that's the habitual perception. So now, what we are usually not aware of in that moment when something shows up like this in front of us is that we are not aware of the automatic response of our system of pushing the boy away. We're trying to separate ourselves from it. So we become like either an authority, or we try to become, take up a stand as a father, the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So we separating ourselves from that energy. And that is the clue which actually reinforces the whole thing. So when we're hearing the boy, I mean, let's play with an experiment now, okay? Let's imagine we have a boy with 14-year-old yelling, going mad, screaming at the parents, which is a very, very common situation. Huh?
Right. Well, here, and, and I will play that role. Okay.
So now imagine, and internally you don't have to yell outside, but now, like, imagine I'm your father, and you can't cope with me. Okay. So now just feel it internally. Okay.
But what I'm saying is, before we imagine it, so that all of the listeners can kind of hear it too, you know, let me do it, because I know that my anxiety level will rise just by playing that role. So I think if they hear that, I think everybody else is going to kind of be able, they're all going to be a part of it. So are you okay with that, where I'm going to play the role and really, really kind of ratchet it up a little bit? Okay?
Please. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm now going into my 14-year-old role. And you are now in the role of father, okay?
Yes.
All right. I don't care if I didn't get my homework done. I want to go to that party. If I don't go to that party, it's going to ruin my life. All my friends are going to be there. It's like the biggest party the whole weekend. It's the biggest party the whole year. It's just not fair if you're not going to let me go.
Okay. So just noticing now. And everybody who listens on the show just now, just noticing internally now the automatic response of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the belly gets tight.
Right.
It's like an automatic. My system shuts down and tries to back off a little bit. It's nothing I do consciously, and you don't do this consciously. You think you're doing it consciously, but it's not. It's an automatic response of the body. The belly gets tight, backing off, get off my screen. You know, just noticing this. And all you need to do now is noticing your own response in this. Which
right.
is not even your response. It is the response of your nervous system to that quality of energy, okay?
Right.
And now, as you continue, Ellen,
mm-hmm.
We are all parents now, okay? You are the 14-year-old boy, and every listener, including me, we are the parents now, or the therapist. Call it whatever you want, okay? And now let's listen to the message that you, Ellen, actually tell us. Okay, you keep going, yelling and complaining and all the rest of it, but there's a hidden message in between the lines that you tell us, actually. And we have to be first sensitive enough to receive our own response. And in that sensitivity towards our own response, we will be able to actually hear what you are telling me. And I will tell you what I hear you when you keep speaking like this. But keep going, and let's track this a little bit. Okay, what I mean?
Okay.
Listen to the okay. voice in between the words that Ellen speaks now.
Okay,
Ellen, you want to continue?
All right. Okay, well, how come you're not answering me? All I'm asking is that I get to go to the party. I promise. I'll do the homework on Monday. I promise.
Okay. Look, I don't know if you have been aware, Ellen, mm-hmm. but the way you were speaking the second term now was already completely different. First of all, you were calmer. You didn't maybe even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've tracked in myself, that in between the line, there was pain. The anger wasn't there anymore the same way in the first try. And I could track a kind of, if I would translate it, I would say, "Hey, Dad, can you see me? Can you feel me? Is it possible for you to meet me? I know you want to do my best, but I'm a young boy. I want to go to party, and I know I try to do my best in my duties, but what I want is, can you meet me? Can you feel me? Can you allow me to be like this in you?" That's what I've heard. And funny enough, I'm recording this with a little tool on my computer. You would be astonished how your voice already has changed when I was asking people to hear what you're actually telling me in between the lines, in between the words. Okay,
I did feel it.
Yes,
you know, I did feel the difference, and I think that to sort of translate that, I think what it is that by you not immediately reacting to what it was, and by talking about, you were talking about something different than what the particular subject matter that he was upset about, and by just talking about something else, you were letting some of your positive energy come in without really even addressing this anxiety that was building up in him.
And I tell you now how this is possible. And this is mm-hmm. only possible because I was not so much interested in what you were saying. My interest was much more into exploring my automatic response to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't need to pay too much attention to your words. What I was interested in, how my system was suddenly shutting down and actually pushing you away from me. So mm-hmm. what I actually love is to feel you inside of me, even your pain and your... But my system wasn't capable. It wasn't just not capable. So in shutting down, I could notice that I was pushing you a little bit away.
Right.
And that was the pain that I experienced in that moment. And I could have jumped over and address what you were saying, but that would have just caused a kind of righteousness and argument and escalation.
Yes.
But what was my interest was tracking only the automatic response of my system without judging this too. I didn't judge even my system because I could sense it's not even me. I was just interested how my system responds to your yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And that had an impact because there's no judgment or no opinion about how you should be, for example, or that you should speak with me in a different way. In a way, we can say, in that moment, the interest wasn't with you. It was more in, am I able to meet you now? Am I really able to stay in contact with you, or is my system just pushing you away? That was my interest. And that had a funny impact on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because, that you know, non-verbally, I think what I felt was almost like I was getting a message that says, I feel your pain.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
The moment you were speaking, I could say, hey, son, I feel your pain. I don't know where it comes from. I don't even know if it has anything to do with you and me, but I can feel there's something going on in you, and it just... It's the only way that you can express it by yelling at me. And in that moment, the whole dynamic, this escalation dynamic, which often can go into violence and blame, shame, and guilt, projections, and all the rest, started to de-escalate. And you felt more met, and
yeah.
I could feel you more. Simply not what you were saying, because what you speak doesn't tell me much about you. But what I feel internally about you tells me much more about you than what your words tell me.
Absolutely, yeah. The feeling is that, you know, I feel your pain, but there wasn't judgment involved in that communication.
Bingo. Yeah. And this is, for me, the clue that changed my entire work. It changed my work with families, with people, with partners, because it was like I was getting out of this perspective of that there's a personal thing going on. This is a personal defect of my son or of my opposite, of my partner, of my wife or of my father, or put it on myself and I think I'm having a personal effect. It took away that burden of a personal dysfunctioning and I could see it from a wider perspective, which is basically impersonal because we just don't know better.
Mm-hmm.
If we would know better, we would do much better, but we don't know better. And that takes away that burden of what I call blame, shame, and guilt, which is that inner structure of conflicts in families, in partnerships, in relationships, in the relationship between clients and therapists as well. It's so quickly that we move into that blame, shame, and guilt dynamic, and that is actually that's the actual destruction in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's not so what's happening what matters. It is the automatic responses and the habitual beliefs and interpretations of our systems that either reinforce the conflict or, as you say, who de-escalate the whole thing.
Right.
So it's my inner response who's doing the job. It is not what I'm doing with the outside. It is how am I meeting that experience that you are internally. If I can be calm with you internally, or if I reject you internally, it's all an inside job.
Yeah, and it would seem at this point that would be a first step. You know, that's a first step. Now, the way in which I responded in as the role of the child, as I responded, it was still a little bit argumentative, but it was a step down. And I think then by again someone responding internally with this feeling of I feel your pain, there still isn't another attack that escalates it. You know, you have a point where you're now coming down the mountain. The worst thing at that point is for the parent to then jump in for an authoritarian thing of going,
exactly,
I told you this, and you'll do it because I said so, you know.
But the idea, look, this is, in that moment when we are pointing at to the outside,
yeah,
we are already losing that sense of feeling the person to whom we are pointing at, to feel that person internally. We are literally projecting.
Okay, and I need to share this. I don't know if all the listeners just caught that. Okay, we're not in the same studio. Florian's in Germany. I'm in California. And he just mentioned that I was pointing. Well, he can't see me. We're not on a video screen. I was pointing. Yeah. I was pointing when I said that, which he could feel the fact that I was pointing while I was talking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because I could immediately feel a disconnection with you. I didn't feel you anymore, because the pointing means my whole energy moves outside, and I'm looking for the reason outside. I'm looking for a solution in the outside. I'm pointing to the outside. Right. And how I'm tracking this internally is, I don't feel you anymore. It's like you're gone suddenly, even if you're only gone for 10 seconds, but it's like the connection is interrupted. And funny enough, what causes conflict and escalation in any kind of relationship, doesn't matter if it's an intimate family situation or a professional situation, is a loss of contact. When the contact is cut off through pointing, through projecting, the whole thing must escalate, because we are moving into a split. And all we want is, we want to meet again. We want to connect again. And connection doesn't mean necessarily always romantic connection. It doesn't mean that we both need to feel good. Because if you have pain, Alan, and I have pain in me, and we just meet amidst that pain, we both will be nourished. It doesn't matter. We are not so much interested in having a good feel. What we love the most as human beings is to meet each other, to be present with each other.
And feel connected.
Independently, and feel connected.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
Any conflict that I've ever had with my wife, or with a friend, or with my parents, was only because I felt not met, or I wasn't capable to meet them. So it's all just a ritual about trying to meet again and to feel connected. And again, I just want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm. Well,
feeling connected doesn't mean that we feel good. It had nothing to do with romanticism or with romantic love. It is just, hey, I'm here with you, and I feel you here also with me. And this is where things dramatically shift in the quality of our professional environment and in our families. It's all about meeting and feeling connected.
Right. Well,
feeling it with our guts, you know, really with the bellies.
Right. Well, I want to share something with you and with everybody listening. There's another byproduct of connecting, and that means time goes by very, very fast. And it has.
Yes.
And believe it or not, we are out of time.
We're
out of time. It's been 50 minutes. But what I would like to do, now I'm sure that there are people out there that have questions. If any of you have questions, there's a couple of ways that you can handle this. One is you can go to our website, which is answers4thefamily.com. There is an archive of all of the shows, including this show. You can listen to it again if you want to pick up a little bit more on it. Or if you want to contact Florian directly, Florian, can you give them the website and the best way for them to contact you?
Okay, so I'll be very happy to answer questions or to assist people in specific circumstances. And my website is www.florianschlosser.com. It's Florian's FlorianSchlosser.com, FlorianSchlosser.com. And there you find also an internet address. It still leads to my former website, which is www.tathagata.de. Don't worry, you find an email address there, and you can either write me an email, or you can contact me on Skype. You find my name also on Skype, Florian Tathagata Schlosser, and you just chat me, and I'll be happy to respond or to meet you in any way. These days we have tremendous possibilities, and let's take advantage of them.
Florian, I want to thank you so much. This is incredible. I look forward to talking with you again, even more so than just on the air, because I feel that we've made quite a bond, and I look forward to doing quite a bit with you.
I'll be very happy, and I mean, there's so many things that we could add now, and if we have the opportunity and if you have the chance to introduce this to more people, let's connect and let's continue our connection also and share this with others.
Absolutely. Again, I thank you, and everybody, we will hear you. We will hopefully you will hear us next week on Answers for the Family. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. All the best.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.